joy to be with you tonight. I'm so excited to be here. I have the same kind of weather that you guys have in Houston in the sense if there's like a little bit of a chance of snow, everything shuts down. And y'all had more than a chance of snow. I actually saw it on the trees when I was coming in. It was just a great thing. So it's so good that it worked out in the schedule. Danny had a picture up behind him of my family, but I want to show it to you again so I can introduce them to you. My wife was going to come. And that's Kelly, my wife there. And then Grayson is my 13-year-old that's right back there. And then Valerie is my 7-year-old. Now, I want you to get Valerie's picture in your mind because I'm going to tell you something about her as we go on a little bit further. But it's so great to be with you and such a joy to be in this time. It's just an awesome thing. And my family's praying for us in this time. I was going to do a message on how to be excited about missions, but I'm not going to do that. I don't think that's the right message. With confetti flying in the air and all different things. But what I want us to do is I do want to take our minds and I want to change our perspectives a little bit on missions. Maybe it's a refining your perspective. Maybe it's giving you a whole new perspective altogether. But I want to take it and I want us to just move our minds and get our perspectives right. Because if our perspective changes, then everything else around it will change as well. The first mission trip I ever went on, I went to China. So I picked a good one to go a long, long ways. Went all the way around the world, got there to China, and was sitting in a taxi cab with another guy that was a Christian college minister and speaker. And we were sitting in this taxi cab in traffic, just stopped all in this traffic, lots of traffic in China. So we were just sitting there in traffic, and I looked out the window, and there was a little girl with orange pants. I remember it distinctly. She had orange pants, and there was a concrete thing like you would park your car against when you would go to the mall or something, and she was jumping over like this, back and forth, back and forth. And I sat there, and I realized this as I was looking out the window. Here's two Christian speakers that travel all over the place talking. Here's a whole lot of Christian education that's right here. Here's a whole lot of Bible knowledge that's right here, but I can't do anything to tell her about my Savior. And right there at that moment, it gave me a perspective on the importance of sending people out, of praying, of giving, of going, yes, of being able to let God do something through me, but it made missions real. See, when missions is something that's just 100 miles over there or 1,000 miles over there, it won't be real in your heart. It's got to be where you realize that there's people that are just like your kids. There's ladies that are just like your spouse, husbands. There's men that are just like your sons, ladies. And they're in places that they have not heard the gospel of Christ. And they have not heard the truth about Christ. And we have an opportunity to go and tell them. And that orange-pantsed little girl changed my perspective. It molded it differently. Because in that perspective, my perspective was basically this. God had put me in America, and if he wanted me in China, he'd have made me born in China. So here I am in America, and that's where I'm supposed to be, and so I'm just going to do the best American deal I can do. And I mean, acknowledge people that are out there, but not really walk in a way of knowing that I'm going to make a difference. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, if you've got your Bible, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 is where we're going to be. And I'm going to show you this, and it's going to connect with the first verse that we saw when it went up on the screen. It was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is right before Acts 1, 8. Not in the scriptures, but in time sequence. This is the ascension of Jesus Christ. When we think about Jesus ascending to heaven, we think about him ascending to heaven, and we put it all in Acts, but it's actually in Luke. Luke is the same author as Acts, and here's what it says beginning in verse 46. And he said, this is Jesus, said to them, this is what is written, the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. You know that, that's Easter. And repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. For you are witnesses of these things. Remember, Acts 1:8 is in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's beginning in Jerusalem. Beginning in your Jerusalem is Birmingham. You are witnesses of these things, and look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. Goes on. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them, and he carried them up into heaven. He was carried up into heaven. They didn't go with him. That's the rapture. But before this, Jesus goes to heaven. Verse 42, it says, and after worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I want you to say those two words with me. Great joy. One more time. Great joy. Missions is to be embraced, not to be feared. Missions is the source of great joy, not the source of great stress or great apprehension. Missions is something that a believer leans into. We don't pull back and say, oh, Lord, don't call me, don't call me, don't call me, don't call me. We pull forward and say, Lord, oh, please call me. Oh, please ask me to give. Oh, please ask me to go. Oh, God, how could I pray? See, with great joy, they worshiped him. And I think a lot of times our hearts get like my heart was. I'm real comfortable. I like my American culture. I like 150 TV stations, even though I only watch like four. I like all the things that I have. I like all these different stuff, and those are all well and good. And I got them too, and I got two of them probably, and you do too. But what it is to say with great joy they worshiped him. He ascended up to heaven, and he says, just wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you out. See, breaking fear, not just admissions, but breaking fear is central to walking in faith. Breaking fear is central to walking in faith. When you're scared and fearful, you're not faith and faithful. When you're faithful, you can have a little bit of fear, but you're going to have the courage to keep going forward. Just as we just sang and just heard sung about being brave. So I ask you this question, in your Christian walk, in your heart for the Lord, and where you're going in your mission experience, even in your mind, is there a fear and an apprehension, or is there a leaning forward? Is there a desire to say, yes, Lord, I want to do more. Yes, God, I want to step forward more. Yes, God, I want to pray more. I want to go more. I want to give more. I want to be a part of the more that you have and the great joy you have. I love that we had all the confetti going on and people cheering because that's just great joy, isn't it? Celebrating and saying, Lord, we celebrate what you are doing. See, missions maximizes thee and minimizes me. That's what happens with missions. That's why it's so good for our hearts. You can go to Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. You can listen to Pastor Danny preach and preach and preach. And I actually follow him on podcast and I listen to him preach too. He does a great job. To be able to hear that is wonderful. But you know what makes a great difference is when you go, when you get involved in it, when you pray, because all of a sudden what happens is he gets maximized and I get lessened. John chapter 3, verse 30. May he increase and may I decrease. Talking about the Son of God. One of the greatest things that happens when you go on a mission trip is this. You have no other identity but Christian. You know why it's so easy, or seems to be easier to share our faith when we go on the mission field than it is at home? Because at home, we got all these other identities. We got employer, we got employee, we got father, husband, friend, neighbor, social status in the community, this and that going on, friend and neighbor. But when you get on the mission field, nobody knows what you do or who you are, if you're somebody or not somebody. I, as Danny said, went to Texas A&M University, and that was a great thing. And our mascot, as you know, is the Aggies. We are the Texas A&M Aggies. And everybody says, well, what is an Aggie? An Aggie is, it's an agricultural school is what it is. So that's where an Aggie comes from. But when I got to China, we were introducing ourselves in these classes, and I would say, I'm from Texas A&M, and we're Aggies. And they go, oh, what is an Aggie? I do not know what Aggie. So we had it figured out. I explained something to explain it to one of the people, and here's how it translated. Here's how Texas A&M Aggie translates. Aggie translates as peasant is what it translates. That's the translation. So all our pride, all our we're something, all our, you know, Johnny Manziel, money, whatever, go to jail. I know, I got it. All of that translates to peasant, which makes Christian sound the whole lot better, doesn't it? So your primary identity on the mission field, your primary identity with your finances, your primary identity with your prayers, with your heart, is not all the other things that clouds our vision. Our primary identity is walking with Christ. And that's what happens when you get on the mission field or you get a mission field heart. And missions becomes, in this Luke passage, something to be embraced. It is a joy. His will for your life is better than your will for your life. His desire for you is better than your desire for you. That's what's so amazing about God. He has a better plan for you than you could ever have for yourself. And his plan involves Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when we get all of those things together, now the joy begins to come into our heart. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You afraid if you really give, then you won't have enough? Are you afraid if you really go, then you won't know what to do? Are you afraid if you don't really let him have your heart, that you won't follow in joy? That's what we should be afraid of, not the other things. Some of us are so afraid that we're going to mess up when we tell people about Jesus. We just don't tell anybody about Jesus. We're so afraid of that, that it paralyzes us. And so we analyze it to death, and we have relationships we've had for 20 years, and we never share Christ with anybody. We've heard about missions forever, but we've never gone. I challenged our church for everybody in our church to go on a mission trip in the next 5 years. And we sent thousands of people out on mission, and they came back changed. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You know what? You're going to mess up, and it's okay. God is bigger than that. I went to Guatemala, and I was on a mission trip there in Guatemala, and so I was speaking a little Spanish and a little bit of English, because in Texas, we think we all speak Spanish a little bit, but we don't understand that enchilada and queso and guacamole is not real Spanish, you know, but that's what we can speak in Houston, so we can do that. So we're the home of the birth of the fajita came from the restaurant in our town, and so that's a good thing. So I was there, and I was talking to this guy, and I was trying to relate with him, so I'm trying to speak a little bit of English and a little bit of Spanish, and so I'm going back and forth. So I get to the point where I'm like, and Jesus Christ can forgive pescados todos. Some of y'all speak Spanish. So he looks at me a little bit strange. So I say, what do you do when somebody doesn't speak your language? You think if you speak it louder, it helps. Jesucristo can forgive pescados todos. There's two words that sound alike in Spanish. Sin is pecado. That's sin. Fish is pescado. I told him that Jesus Christ can forgive all of his fish. Yes, all your fish. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, all of Dr. Seuss's fish. He can forgive every one of your fish. And he sat there and I said, do you understand? Yes, Jesus can forgive all my fish. That's what he repeated back. But you know what happened? The Holy Spirit was bigger and better than me. Oh, it's good for a pastor to not be able to communicate things clearly. It humbles us. And he prayed right there on that street and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. See, God just wants to use willing people that will step out and say, you know what, I'll go. I'll give. I'll pray. I'm not afraid. I want the joy of what God can do in my life. See, life on mission is about our hearts first. That's what he's after in you. God's not after your wallet. God's not after your schedule. God's after your heart. And when God gets a hold of a heart, everything else follows in line. Then he takes care of everything else. God wants your heart. See, we have made missions incorrectly about an address. This section of people have a different address than the rest of the section of people here. You all got Birmingham addresses. They got around the world addresses and some Birmingham addresses as well. But to be able to see that it's bigger than address, missions, a life of missions is first about the heart, not our address. Tomorrow you're going to go to work somewhere in this city. You're going to go to school somewhere in this city. And you are a missionary just as much as these people that are sitting right here. People are lost. People need the Lord. God wants to do things through you in where you are. You're a missionary disguised as a teacher. You're a missionary disguised as a businessman. You're a missionary disguised as a hospital administrator. You're a missionary disguised as a student. You're a missionary disguised. That's just your mode of operandi to be able to share Christ through your integrity, through your witness, through your faithfulness, through your prayers. You can walk the halls of your business place and share Christ. You can walk the halls and pray for people and ask God to do his work in that place, and the Lord can break it out. That's what missional living is about. It's about changing our minds and changing our perspective. Let me give you a thought. Let me give you an orange pants experience if I can. I want you to think about it like this. I want you to think about kind of a bullet or a bullseye, I should say. You got a couple rings on a bullseye. Some of y'all that are hunters or gun people, you know, those sort of things. The first thing, the center of this, if we go in Christianity, is this. Let me see if red comes out a little bit brighter. The first thing is perspective. Perspective. That's the first thing. The second thing is our priorities. How do you spell priorities in front of all these people? P-R-O-R-I-T-E-S. There we go. Okay, priorities. That's close enough. English teachers, handwriting teachers, just grace, grace. Okay. Perspective, priorities, and then finally, practice is what's going to be out here. Practice. Now, let me give you a biblical illustration of this. Acts chapter 9. What happens in Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9, Paul is on the road to Damascus. A blinding light comes. He falls down. He says, who is this light? Why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I'm Jesus. His perspective has changed. You go further in Acts chapter 9, and in Acts chapter 9, it says, you know, he's blind, and then it says the scales fall off, and he steps up, and he's baptized, then he eats. Do you see different priorities now? Spiritual food, then we're going to have physical food. Then you get to Acts chapter 9, verse 20 is up here in this one, and it says immediately he went to the synagogue, and he preached Jesus. What happened? Paul got his perspective changed, his priorities changed, and his practice changed. Let me tell you what we do in the church and we do a bad job of. Here's what we do in the church. Not this church, not just my church, the church. We preach to practice all the time. We're always on practice. Top 10 ways to do this, top 5 things to stop, top 3 ways to do and still be a Christian. You know, I mean, just, we go back and forth. We're just practice, 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 practice. Don't do. So we get our little checklist out, click, 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 click. Wait a minute, my life, where's the joy? Practice is not where we should be. Perspective is what we should be talking about. Because here's what happens. When your perspective changes, your priorities change, and when your priorities change, your practice changes. So I'm asking you, and I'm asking me, what's your perspective on missions? A side item of your life in church, a once a year endeavor, a moment to do something. If we're not going to remodel the kitchen this year, then we'll do a little bit of that. Is that the perspective? If that's the perspective, you'll never have a change of priorities. And if you never have a change of priorities, you'll hear practice, 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 practice. And what'll happen is you'll actually begin to be aggravated by it. Be like, hey, well, what about us? What about Jerusalem? What about Birmingham? What about our home? What about this? What about that? And the practice is not going to make it to the priorities or to the perspective. The perspective's got to come out. Here's the way Jesus put it. The overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And then when you have that, now you're walking. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then all these things, they'll be added unto you. See, there's a difference when it shifts of our perspective. Our perspective is this. There's 3 billion people that have never heard about Jesus Christ. Our perspective should be this. Andrew Murray in the World Missionary Conference of 1910, so over 100 years ago, we shall need 3 times more men, 4 times more money, and 7 times more prayer. See, perspective changes everything. And now when you watch the news, you're not just watching the news going, man, those people are crazy. You're watching the news saying, Lord, I'm praying that you do your work in these people's lives. We have a missionary that we sent out from our church. We help support. He's not like just from our church, but he's come to our church and then gone back out. He's in Europe right now. He's discipling an ISIS leader who was woken up in the middle of the night with a dream about Jesus and became a Christian. Fled ISIS, went to Europe. ISIS found him, beat him up. I mean, like, fractured skull, beat up, left for dead in a ditch. And he's being discipled right now by a missionary that you helped support as well by helping support through the cooperative program. That's what's going on. That's God's news report. That's what God's doing. That's what's amazing about what he's doing. Do we have that perspective? When I was in China, I shared Christ with a guy over a dinner. He was a college student. We were on a college campus, and he looked up after praying and receiving Jesus Christ, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, I must go tell my village. And days later, he got on a bus to go tell his village about Jesus Christ. You know what his name was? Godwin. Godwin. His name, God, win. And I want you to hear loud and clear, God wins. That's the perspective. God wins. He changes us. Now, let me take you on a journey just for a second. If I could take you and we could all be transported back to the church that I get to pastor in Houston, Texas. I just want you to get in your mind that place and want to give you a couple pictures of it. And Pastor Danny's asked me to share a few things about it, about what God's been doing in our church. Our church, if you can picture, we're on I-10 and literally out my window, I was in pastor's office and I looked out, I said, it's beautiful. It's trees. My window, 300,000 cars a day pass by. 300,000 cars. I mean, like, y'all have a beautiful city. We do not, okay? We do not, okay? It's beautiful here. It's gorgeous. Hills and mountains. I'm like, man, this is awesome. We have concrete, and then we have this asphalt, and then we got concrete, and then we got asphalt. I can be in downtown Houston from our church within, I mean, easily 10 minutes. So, I mean, we are an urban city deal. So we got it, you know, all over the place. That's the picture. But man, I want you to know our heart beats for the world at our church. I mean, beats for the world at our church. We love people in our church. We love oil execs and we love the down and out. So we started asking God, what do you want to do in our church? What do you want to do? And I was praying and asking, seeking, pleading with God. Fasting has become a big part of my life in the last few years. Asking God to do something. And he began to give us this vision based on Acts 1:8. Our city, our nation, and our world. And it's called Mission 1:8 is what we called it. Mission 1:8. But we didn't want to forget about the widow, the poor, the orphan, and the prisoner. And now we've added just this last couple months, the refugee, because we have a lot of refugees coming to Houston. They're fleeing countries because of war and different things like that. So we began to ask this question of our people. What could we do, God, if we just all stepped in a little bit deeper? And here's what we did. Give you a little math problem. I won't draw it up here. I ran out of room there. We basically asked the question. We said, okay, if all of us jumped in a little bit deeper in our giving, what could we do? So let me give you some numbers to just kind of give you some figure work here. In your mind, we said, okay, for 2 years, if we do nothing, if we just have normal church, our budget's about $22 million a year. If we just do nothing, about $45 million is going to come in 2 years, okay? So we said, what would happen if we took another $15 million and people began to really give and another $15 million came in? Here's what we could do. We're a multi-site church. We planted 2 multi-sites. We focused in on 3 cities in our nation, San Francisco, Boston, New York. We focused in on 3 places in our world, Madrid, Rio, and East Asia. We partnered with all sorts of ministries within our city of widow, poor, and orphan. 43 widows this year were supported by our church, at least part of it, to be able to say that. Over 100 adoptions have happened in our church in the last couple years, and that we've scholarshiped people to help them with adoptions. We've had almost 100 babies saved through a pregnancy clinic that we helped get off the ground by our money being able to do that. It's mind-blowing what God has done. So we were looking, what would God do with $15 million extra dollars? What could he do with this? God, do your work. And here's what we asked. We asked everybody to step up a notch in their giving. So if you don't give to the church, not you, but I'm saying this to our people. If you don't give to the church, we want you to be a first-time giver. Jump in wherever you are. Jump in at 2%, 3%, whatever it is. You just jump in as a first-time giver. Can I tell you this? It's about discipleship. It's about discipleship. It's about discipleship. In the last 2 years, we have had 3,700 people who have never given to the church before that stepped into the joy of giving. 3,700 people. We've had 10,000 family units step in to be a part of what we're doing over the last 2 years. Our goal was not just, was 2 years, was going to be $45 million for normal, another $15 million, you can do the math, is $60 million. I want you to know that this Sunday is our celebration service after 2 years. This Sunday is our celebration service. God put it for me to come here on Thursday, for me to be there on Sunday to fire up my heart. Y'all are firing up my heart on missions. This Sunday, not $60 million, $75 million. Man. Now, I'm giving you that numbers just just numbers, okay? I want you to hear that our people got a heart for missions. And instead of 15 million, another $15 million towards what God's doing. Let me tell you how fun it is to just bless missionaries like crazy. To be sitting in my office and to have somebody come. India was represented, orphanage that we're helping to support in India. And to just say, you know what, I happen to have a check, and just watch that happen in tears. It's prison ministry in our church. We gave them some money, and the ex-prisoner that's now running the ministry began to sob. What God can do and does. And you know where that comes from? It just simply comes from everybody being involved. Here's what I say to our new members. We've been doing all this ministry without you. What could we do with you? We've been doing all this without your giving. What could we do with 3,700 more of what God would do? What can God do? But can I tell you one other thing about it? I just want you to hear this. That's the highlight reel. I want you to hear the ache. I want you to hear the ache. Because when you begin to really get a perspective about ministry and missions, God begins to do something in your heart. And I just want to tell you my own heart. I have been for the last 2 years on my face before God. Because there is some times in this whole journey that it was tanking. When we were receiving the pledges and they weren't even close to any of this, and we just said, God, you called us. Lord, we're pleading with you. God, we're calling out to you. We're asking Jesus to do your work. So even our staff this week, I called them to fast at least one meal before Sunday comes, that we would call out on God. And I want you to hear that these things don't happen without fasting, prayer, sacrifice, and heart perspective. It is not incidental, unintentional, world-changing things that happen. It is intentional, sacrificial, changing. Even my own heart, the Lord called my wife and I to double tithe to reach the goal that we felt like we prayed for a number. He gave us a number, and we felt like the Lord called us to reach that number. We're going to have to double tithe. And so we stepped out, and I just want you to know I'm in an expensive chapter of life right now with two kids. I got college coming. I got private high school possibly coming with my son. I get a really good discount for the school at our church, but I don't get it for the next one. It, you know, that almost costs college, at least in our city. It's an expensive time. And I want you to hear what God did in our life as we stepped out. I'm just sharing my heart with you. We stepped out and said, okay, Lord, we don't have cable anymore. We're cutting cable. We're doing this. We're doing that. We refinanced our house. This was after we made this commitment. We refinanced our house at the exact perfect time, and our house note dropped by 1/3. Three times we were given something that we thought we were going to have to pay for that ended up being free. I'll tell you one of them, since I'm not in Houston. I hadn't even told my church this. My son braces, you know, my daughter braces. An orthodontist in our church walked up to me after we had made this commitment and walked up to me and said, the Lord has laid on my heart that I'm supposed to do braces for your kids for free. And then my wife had crooked teeth too, and he did hers as well. So we end up with three sets of braces that would end up like that. And the other two stories are just that similar type things. My tax return was twice what I thought it was going to be because my accountant made a mistake to the good, not to the bad, but to the good. And it came in that way. God provided so much that after the first year of our commitment, we raised our commitment by another 10% of the commitment, not 10% of 20% of our income to 30%. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, if we pledged $100, it went then to $110 over the 2 years. And I want you to know, we just finished our pledge this week. What joy. What it's done in my kids. Parents, do you know it's great for your kids to see you struggle with things? It's awesome for them to see you struggle with things. God wants to do something in Mission 1-8 fashion Theodore Williams of India put it like this: we face a humanity that's too precious to neglect. We know a remedy for the ills of the world that is too wonderful to withhold. We have a Christ that is too glorious to hide. We have an adventure that is too thrilling to miss. The need is great, but here's what I've been trying to get through to you. Missions is to be embraced. It's a joy. Don't fear it. Secondly, it's about your heart, not about your address. Be on mission with God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. See, a life on mission means that you've got four choices. Here's our four choices. You're either giving, going, praying, or disobeying. Those are the only four choices with missions. Giving, going, praying, or disobedient. When I said that to our church, the little kids, I didn't tell them to do this, but this one little kid came up with these hand motions, and this was the hand motions. You're either giving, going, praying, watch this from a little kid's perspective, or disobeying. That was it. So little kids would, and that's great, isn't it? I want you to do that with me. You ready? You're either giving, going, just do your arms like you're running, praying, or disobeying. You don't want to do this one, do you? You want to give, you want to go. And some of you, maybe you're in an age that you can't go. That's okay. You can pray. Senior adults, please don't quit praying. Maybe you're at a time in your business. You can't go because there's too much going on. But you can give and you can pray. Make a ton of money and give a ton of money away. And let God do something through you that is greater and greater and greater. You give. You give. Here's a couple things I've done in my heart. Whenever there's an offering taken, if I'm at a different place than our church, offering taken that I didn't know that it was going to be taken up, here's what I do. I give the biggest bill in my wallet. One time we were in New York City, and we were on a trip, vacation, and I was so, like, ticked with the Lord because I had $300 by three $100 bills. I was like, Lord, golly, why didn't I have a 20 in here somewhere? But you know what? I gave it. It was a joy. Other times I feel like the Lord says, give everything in your wallet. Well, I don't even know what's in my wallet. That's why I want you to give everything in your wallet, because you don't even know what's in there right now. Just take out whatever's in there and throw it in there. That's just something I've done. Just if there's an offering taken that's been able to do that, you know, and Pastor Dan, just so you know, I left my wallet in your office. You know, I don't know if we're going to take up an offering, but I'll give you whatever's in there later. I wrote in my Bible, I want to give or go to every country in the world. When you give to the denomination, you are going to every country in the world. But I just started writing in the front of my Bible. It's not this one here, but I just started writing down in there just every country that I'd given to. And I'd get excited when someone said, well, I'm from such and such. I'd look at the front, I don't have that one down. I'd give them some money, write that down. I had a list of 25 countries when I was in college of just countries that I wanted to give to. I love giving. It's great. Man, I spent a whole lot of years being really, really materialistic and selfish. Let me tell you how many of my shirts have given me joy. But how many words from the mission field or changed lives have given me joy? Every single one of them. Every one of them. We go, we step out, go on a trip, make it a green light until a red light comes. We got in our Christianity, it's a red light until we hear green light. The Great Commission is go, go. Just go. You're not going to get to Guatemala and God goes, I said Guam. It's okay. You'll be fine. Just go. Pick one out. Go. Pescados todos. God will fix it. It'll be okay. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray over the news. Pray over a map. Spend time in prayer. Miss a meal tomorrow. Miss breakfast tomorrow. This would be great for you to do. Miss breakfast tomorrow and take that time you would have spent on breakfast and pray for what God's doing in your church this week, or a meal somewhere. Just miss one meal. Is missions better than a sandwich and chips? Yes. Pray and seek the Lord. Let me show you my daughter, Valerie. I told you to remember her. My kids, I take them with me to church. You know, pastors, we get to church a lot earlier than the rest of us. And so I get to church about 8 for our 9:15 sermon service. And so I used to bring my son, but now he's 13, so he didn't really want to come with me as much. But my 7-year-old thinks it's cool, so she comes with me. And I actually have a little name tag that says Daddy's Sidekick. It's Valerie Mott and Daddy's Sidekick. It's as official as any other staff member's name tag that she puts on her little shirt there. And so she comes to my office, and so she's sitting behind my desk, kind of playing office with important papers, and she goes, what do you have to do tomorrow? And I'm just trying to think up stuff. She's making my to-do list. I said, well, I have to tell Mary, that's my assistant, to mail a letter for me. I'm just kind of making stuff up. So she writes it down. So she writes down that one thing. And then she makes her own list. I want to show you her list. Daddy's reminders. Ask Mary to mail a letter. I told her that one. Number two, pray for missions. Now watch these. Three, tell Valerie I love her. That's her. She's writing down for me to tell her I love her. Ladies, can you relate? You understand? Put it on your husband's to-do list. Tell Jesus I love him. Tell Kelly, that's my wife, I love her. Tell Grayson, that's my son, that I love him. Tell Sammy I love her. Sammy's our dog, our golden retriever. I love that list. I brought it. I got it right here. This is it. This is that list. My daughter wrote down number two, pray for missions. And then number three was, tell her that I love her. Let me tell you how much joy I get out of telling my daughter I love her. Every night I'll look her in the face and I'll say, Daddy went all over the world today looking for the best little girl in the whole world. And I found her and her name is Valerie Karis Mott. And we giggle and kiss and snuggle and read a book about Clifford or, you know, whatever it is. But she knows, as we pray for the nations together, that God has something great in store for her. And we're praying for the nations. And we're going to the nations. We're going to Africa this summer as a family so that we can just see what God's doing there. Because our church, we built an orphanage there. We want to see it. I want to see it. And I want to take my kids to see it. Or I can disobey. And I can live like everybody else on planet Earth. And come and go and never make a difference. Giving, going, praying, disobeying. What's your perspective? What's your priorities? What's your practice? Do you lean forward? Is there any orange pants in your life that you're still thinking about, a spiritual snapshot that's got you leaning forward? If so, God will put you on an adventure like you've never seen before. Let me close with this. When I was praying about Mission 1-8 for our church, I was in San Francisco, at Golden Gate Seminary, and you can look out over Alcatraz and see San Francisco. In San Francisco, there's this great fog all the time. And that morning, I was praying, and it was a great fog there, and I couldn't see San Francisco. And God spoke to my heart and said, that's the vision right now for you, Mr. Pastor. He didn't call me Mr. Pastor. I'm adding that part. But that's the vision for you and the church right now. It's foggy. Something's there, but you can't see it. The next day as I prayed, it began to break a little bit. And they said, that's the vision. It's beginning to break a little bit, but you need to stay with me. And then finally it broke and it was clean and it was clear. And I could see the city of San Francisco, and that became one of our Mission 1-8 sites. And I prayed in that prayer room. And as I got on my knees, I just got lower and lower and lower and lower until finally I was on my face in tears, calling out to God, saying, dear God, would you do something in our church? Would you do something in my life? Would you do something great through us in this city, and an amazing thing. And now here we are, a part of church plants in San Francisco. Here we are, a part of what God's doing through churches there. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Got on the shuttle bus to go to the airplane today in Houston. There was a couple from our church. They were going to San Francisco. I said, go to this church on Sunday that we've been supporting. How's your fog? How's your fog? Is it so thick you just don't even see any of this stuff? Or is maybe even tonight it's beginning to break? What's God want you to joyously do? Do something. Do something. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Just a second, I'm going to ask you to come down here to pray. To get on your knees, to get on your face with your family, with your spouse, to pray. I'm not talking about church prayer where I pray and y'all all bow your head and people look at their watch and wonder if we're going to go to IHOP or Waffle House or whatever y'all do after things like this. I'm talking about praying for God to do something in a great way. And then he'll lead you and all you got to do is say yes. Isn't that great? Here's Christianity. It's so simple. God speaks. We say yes. Great things happen. That's it. Well, what about? God speaks. We say yes. Great things happen. So we're going to ask God to speak. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, Jesus, that you are so great and that you speak and you will speak to us, Lord. You will do what only you can do. You will move in a powerful way. And I pray, Jesus, thanking you so much for this great church and the heart they have for missions. It is obvious. But Lord, could you do even more, immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine? Please, God, that's what we're asking. Do more. Speak to us more. What would happen if people who have never given jumped in and started giving? If people that have been given take a step up and go for it, what would happen? And so, Lord, we begin in prayer. Church, I just want to call you in just a moment to get out of your seat, come down front, get on your knees before a holy God and just simply say, Lord, what do you have me do? Do something's the theme. What is it, Lord, you want me to do? He'll speak to you. He'll share with you how to give, how to go, how to pray. And you'll just say yes, and great things will happen. Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come. Right now. Come on. Who's coming? Let's come. Let's get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's let the aisles be filled. Pray for a country. Pray for a place. Pray for your finances. Pray for your perspective. Pray for your priorities. Call out on God. As the worship team just plays instrumentally, we'll give you a quiet moment. Pray that God would use this church to be a incredible, world-changing church from Birmingham, Alabama. What a great place to start, Lord. Come and pray.